Hello and welcome to Inside the Marnie. My name is Matt. And my guest today is Yano Xanthopoulos. Hi, Yano.
Hi, what's up?
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, but I can detect a slight hoarseness in your voice. Have you got a little cold?
I've caught a cold in the middle of the summer, yes.
Well, that's double thanks for giving us your time today.
Of course.
So, listeners, the headline here is Yano last month, so that's July 26, played for the Greek under-20s in a Eurobasket competition in Slovenia. What can you tell us about that experience?
I mean, first of all, I'm honored to represent my country. It's been something that I've wanted to do, and it's been a goal of mine to be on the national team of Greece playing basketball for a while now. I missed the U18 Eurobasket 2 years ago, so 2024. In that summer, I missed it due to an injury. So I've been wanting to, you know, put that jersey on with my name in the back, with the Hellas in the front, kind of represent my country. So extremely proud moment. Really glad I got to do it with a group of guys I did. And although we didn't win a medal, we didn't place top three, we placed top five. And I'm just really proud of that group of guys.
So sub five means you just missed out on the semifinals?
Yes. So we made it to the group of eight and we lost to Serbia to make it to the top four and have a chance at a medal. But after we lost to Serbia, we won two games and got our highest ranking that we could after that point. So
That's great. Okay. My extensive research, being an Englishman, has told me that a basketball team has five players.
Yes, so we actually have more than that, but there's always only five players on the court.
Well, that was going to be my other question. What was the total number of the squad playing under 20 for Greece in Slovenia? What was the total number
of
the squad?
So it's 12 people.
12.
It's 12 people. 16 guys were selected to come to the preparation that we started in Crete at the start of June. So it was a month and a half ordeal. 16 guys came, and, you know, sadly, that's the process, but two guys were cut after the first couple of weeks and then two more before the tournament.
It's harsh, isn't it?
It is. But I mean, those guys have to be very proud of just being in the top 16 in the whole of Greece. And, you know, it's a huge accomplishment either way.
Do you get the feeling that their journey to get to that position to represent Greece at under 20 level was the same as your journey?
I actually don't think everyone is the same. I think everybody has a unique path. Some of them might be similar. I know a couple of the guys that kind of grew up in Athens. I know that's a very different experience to what I had because, you know, they were in clubs and academies since they were really young. And I'm sure it was a different experience. I can't really talk much on it because I don't know what that would be like. What that would look like, but I'm sure they had their kind of difficult moments and easier moments than me. But I think everybody has a unique path, and kind of we all reach the same point, but everybody kind of has their own different way of getting there.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Can we now start the conversation about your individual path?
Of course.
And to do that, we need to rewind. So, Yano, you were born in Athens, but you moved down to Mani just before the age of three?
Yeah, I think the moving process started when I was two. I think we ended up permanently moving around 2009, so I would have been three.
Okay, so the first big change in your life down here must have been something called school.
Yeah.
What can you tell us about that?
I kind of bounced around a bit more than my brother because my brother's 1 year older than me. So I had basically one more year of pre-elementary school to do. So I was in Agios Nikolaos, the kind of kindergarten in Agios Nikolaos for 1 year when I was four. And then when I was five, I was in the Cardamilli kindergarten, which only operated for a couple of years, but I was lucky enough to, you know, kind of be that age in those years. And we had this, I have to give a shout out, I'm sorry. We had this incredible teacher called Sandra that would, you know, kind of involve us in all different kind of ways and kind of teach us things that go beyond school. And I'm just really grateful I had the chance to have her as my teacher for a year.
Good shout out. I hope she's listening.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. I have to get in touch with her.
I'm surprised that even at that stage, the infant school in Cardamilli was still operational.
Yeah, I don't know the specifics, but I'm pretty sure it wasn't operational before and after for a couple of years. I think I caught it in the sweet spot where it was operational for a limited amount of years. I can't exactly tell you off the top of my mind how many that was, but it mustn't have been a lot.
And listeners who know Cardamilli will now know that building probably because they've seen an art exhibition.
Yes, yes. An art exhibition, some museum exhibitions, some kind of, you know, celebrations happen on the courtyard outside. Yeah, I don't think many people know it as a school.
So when you were both in Ars Nicolas and then Cardamilli, you were living in Plaza?
I was living in Plaza at the time, yeah. That's where we moved. We actually moved down to Stupa a couple years later, I think, after I started elementary school.
Okay, right. So then the inevitable progression is Stupa.
Yeah, yeah.
What can you tell us about moving up to... I remember being a bit scared when I went from infant school to junior school. I heard all these rumors about what was going to happen to me. How did you find the overall experience of going to Stupa?
I have to say positive. Obviously, there are ups and downs. And as a kid, you dramatize a lot of stuff. But I think for me, it goes hand in hand with moving down to Stupa as well, because we also moved house. And that's kind of a big deal when you're young. I mean, it's a big deal anyways, but it's a big deal when you're a kid, you're moving away from, you know, a lot of our friends lived right next to us. So that was kind of a big change, but the house we moved to is close to the school, same village. The school, I actually have mostly good words to say about it. It was a good environment because, you know, in primary school, it's kids from 6 years old to 11, 12 years old. So there is kind of a big disparity, but it was nice having a lot of life and, you know, more kids your age, because in kindergarten, inevitably, the school is smaller. So because you only have kids exactly in your age group.
Yeah, yeah.
But in primary school, you know, like seeing kids run around and do stuff, and even older kids kind of, I don't want to say idolize, but you kind of want to do what they do. You kind of want to play the way
there's
play.
There's a hierarchy.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Okay. And I should know the answer to this question, but at the Stupa school, do you have different teachers teaching you different subjects?
No. So in primary school in Greece, you have one teacher that teaches you all the subjects. So they teach you Greek, math, religion, physics in the older classes. Yeah, I mean, geography, history, anything you can think of, English, anything you can think. I might have to correct myself. I think English might be a separate teacher. I'm not sure.
But this was at the infant school?
This was at the primary school, so in Stupa, from 6 to 12 years old.
Okay, right. I thought, though, okay, that's interesting. I've learned something.
Yeah, separate professors in Greek school happens when you go to middle school or high school. I don't know what exactly you call it. So after 12 years old, yeah, Cardamilli.
Maybe you can't answer this question, but did you get a feeling of how different the experience might have been, say, if you were living in Kalamata or Patra?
I genuinely don't think I did. I think being a kid, you just kind of enjoy what you have, and I don't think I was, you know, thinking and putting myself in different spots or thinking of the what ifs of living in a city or living in even just a bigger village or a bigger town like Kalamata. So I don't think I was comparing my experience to something that could be. I think I was just enjoying my time. And I think growing up in a place like the Mani and, you know, Stupa, Cardamilli, all the places where the schools were, I think it's amazing. And it's an incredible experience for a kid, because you get to be so much freer than if you were to grow up in a city. I think you get to be outside. You get to have more freedom. I think if your parents know you're going to be outside, and there's going to be their friends and their parents and the other kids' parents there, it's kind of more of a safe environment. And there's not that many cars going around. There's not that many people you don't know.
So when you had free time, and you've already mentioned your older brother, Christos, and your group of friends at the school, how did you spend your free time? As you said, you know, you're free. What did you do other than basketball? Or is there nothing?
It's nothing and everything you do at that age. I mean, just playing, it's just running around, playing hide and seek, playing, you know, riding bicycles, going to the playground, playing other sports. I love soccer. I mean, at soccer, I've been in America too long. I love football. Sorry, English fans, but... playing whatever sport you can. If you can get your hands on a ball, you play that sport. Just, you know, running around, swimming in the summer, whatever you could do at that point.
Because you were free to do it. Because it was a small place and it was safe.
Safe environment. Yeah. I think it's super important.
Okay. So then the natural progression is to move on to Cardamilli and, make it easy. Cardamilli school can be divided into the middle school.
Yeah, which is the first 3 years, 12 to 14, 11 to 14.
Yep, and then the high school, which is...
15 to 18 until you graduate.
Okay, so you went to Cardamilli.
I went to Cardamilli, yeah. I went to Cardamilli. I did 4 years there before we move on to anything else. But that's when kind of school becomes a bit more important. Education-wise, like you kind of, you know, the subjects are a bit harder in quotation marks. I don't know. Like, you start taking a bit more serious, like ancient Greek. I remember ancient Greek being a hassle. I remember ancient Greek being so hard. But you get to take new subjects and you have a different teacher for each subject. We mentioned that before.
Yeah.
You kind of, you're again, you're the youngest person at your school because, you know, you go in there, you're 12 years old. There's... Yeah. Kids from 12 to 18.
The same,
so you start going through
hierarchy.
The same cycle, hierarchy.
And then something changed.
I want to say I was 14 or 13. I just started realizing I really like basketball. I really enjoyed it. I maybe wanted to do it professionally, but I'm going to be very honest. At that point, that was something very scary for me to say out loud and speak my mind about it, because there weren't really any people that became professionals or became the people you see on TV from here. This is going to sound kind of cliche, but when professors and teachers ask you at the start of the school year, what do you want to be when you grow up? And everybody goes around the class kind of saying, I always used to make jokes about whatever I could think about, because I didn't want to say I want to play basketball.
Because
that was so scary to me. Like I thought I was going to get laughed at, because... Like, how are you going to play basketball coming from, you know, here? And kind of, there's no infrastructure. There's little infrastructure. There's a lot of people that believed in me, and I'm really thankful to them. But it was really scary at that age to, you know, kind of say it out loud. So I think at that point when I was 14, I think that's when I decided I really wanted to do it, and I really wanted to, like, devote myself to it.
It has produced a couple of football players.
It actually, for its size, even basketball players, there are a couple professionals right now playing. But at that point, that wasn't really what I was thinking about. I was watching Michael Jordan and LeBron James on YouTube. So there wasn't no Michael Jordan or LeBron James from here. So it was still really scary.
But despite the scariness, something changed in your mind.
Yeah. I had some serious talks with my parents. My mom told me that it's two different things to play sports and, you know, kind of play sports professionally or try to be the best at something. Because in my mind, then I was like, oh, I can still try to play professional and stay here till I'm 18 and then move and go to a university and play professionally. But she was like, you're not going to get to your ceiling if you do that. You have to make a commitment and make a big decision. If that's really what you want, then you would be kind of, you wouldn't be doing yourself justice if you stayed here and you didn't pursue what you really wanted.
That's a shame. But nevertheless, you took a very brave step. Can you tell us what that was?
Yeah, so I have to preface a little bit. That year, my third to last year of high school, I was 15 years old. I decided I really wanted to take basketball seriously, so I was training a bit harder. I was still playing here, but I got called up to the U16 national team for tryouts, and I had to do some practices there. And this team called Prometheus from Patra saw me at those tryouts. And, you know, obviously I wasn't good enough to make the U16 national team. I just want to say that I got cut around 25 to 30 people. I don't remember. But it was still a big accomplishment for me. And that team from Patra, which is a really big club, they asked me to go to Patra and try out. So I went there for a 2-day stretch. I stayed at their dormitory and I, you know, did practice with them for 2 days. And I got back to Mani and I got a call saying that we want you for next year and we want you to stay at our dorms and, you know, practice with the team and be on the team and all that kind of stuff. So I took my chance and on the 4th of July, I remember still, I moved to Patra. I went to Patra. And although it didn't work out, I only stayed there for a month doing all the prep. Uh-huh. I don't think I was mentally ready for, you know, serious basketball, let's call it that, for, you know, a serious training program, serious practices, serious weightlifting. I don't think I was mentally prepared for that.
And did leaving the Mani also play a part in that? I mean, basically, you'd left home.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely had a big impact on me. You know, being away from family, you know, your friends, you want to finish practice and go, you know, go outside with your friends, go like meet up, do whatever you do. But it was definitely a bit hard. But at the end of that month, I decided I was going to go to Athens.
Okay, not back here.
Not back here. I felt like if I came back, I felt like after I made that step, I couldn't come back. I made my decision. And
wow.
I really kind of closed that door mentally behind me, because if I did, then I would never kind of forgive myself of going and, you know, like failing and not persevering. So I decided to go to Athens. I went to the school that my mom went to. It's a private school. I got a scholarship there, the Moraiti School, for viewers if you want to look it up.
So how long did that last for in Athens?
I stayed there for 2 years, so I finished the school there. I bounced around three teams. The first year I went to a team, wasn't really a great fit, changed teams in the middle of the year, so around Christmas time, in the middle of the basketball season, my bad, guys. Changed teams around there, December, January. Played the second half of the season with another team. Kind of had my ups. And then changed teams and went to FOs in my last year of high school.
And that's a recognized
That's a recognized team, club. Huh? That's a recognized club. Yeah, club. It's in Zografou in Athens. And, I mean, Giannis Antetokounmpo, I mean, you can look him up. He's in the NBA. He's played for 13 years. Massive accomplishments. Actually won a bronze medal with Greece in the senior men's national team Eurobasket a year ago.
Right. Okay.
So, yeah, he played there growing up.
Wow. So you're now following in the footsteps, which you wouldn't have done if you'd stayed in Kadhimili. That's the truth.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Okay. We're on a roll here, and I can see you know what you want. No, this club isn't good enough for me. I'm going to try and get into this club. I got into this club. What was the next step?
I don't remember exactly when I made my mind up, but I think at the start of that last season, so 2023, I want to say September 2023 of the basketball season. So when I was, you know, starting out at FIOs, I had two goals in mind. I wanted to go play Division I college basketball in the States the next year.
Wow.
And I wanted to make the U18 national team. So I kind of had a good season. I played in some tournaments. I got invited to an Adidas tournament, the Adidas Next Generation tournament in Montenegro, Podgorica, in late January.
So this is your first competition outside of Greece?
Yeah.
Right.
First official competition outside of Greece. I went there, played that tournament, played against some of the biggest clubs in Europe, like Real Madrid and, you know, ABA Berlin.
Wow.
And a couple other clubs. We lost in the final to Real, but they have two players that are now in the NBA, so I'm not too fussed about it. Then in March, I got selected to the national team, the U18 national team, and played in an international tournament in Germany. That's not the Eurobasket, just to clarify.
Okay.
Played 7 games there. Came back, finished the season with FIOs. And the national team preparation would start on the 20th of June to go play in the U18 Eurobasket in Finland. I want to say it was that year. And got diagnosed with a microfracture on my left ankle two days before the prep. Yeah, it wasn't my highest moment. And at that point, I had gone on a visit to Princeton University in the States.
Yeah.
They had actually flown me and my dad out, and we went to see the school because they wanted to offer me a scholarship. Obviously, talking to other universities as well, but getting injured at that point, kind of losing all the interest in the colleges I had, and colleges were like, we need you ready. We need you to do one more year. We can't really take you right now because, you know, we don't know when you're going to be healthy, which is a valid argument, but it still hurt a lot.
So that must have been heartbreaking. You get the invite from Princeton and you can't take up a position there because of your injury. You have to be fit and ready to go.
Yeah. You know, being recruited by a couple of colleges, but Princeton in specific, you know, Princeton, I'm not going to hide away from it. It's a very prestigious academic school. They would have had very high academic, you know, requirements to get in. And I had a good SAT. I had some good academic, a good academic background from Greece, going to a very good private school. They kind of looked into all that. But I, at the end of the day, I was going there to play basketball, so they were recruiting me for my basketball. But it was still very hard. It was my first time in the States. You know, I flew into New York. I saw the skyscrapers. I thought they were going to fall on me. We don't have skyscrapers in Greece. seeing the school is beautiful. School is beautiful. I stayed there for 3 days.
Wow.
It was hard. It was hard because that's what I had in my mind. I had told myself I want to get into play college basketball and play Division I basketball. And then I had that opportunity and it got taken away from me in a way.
That's a real shame. So you had to find a replacement when you were fit again. Is that right?
Yeah. So my manager got me a spot on basically a high school team, a prep school in Canada. To basically do 1 year, get fit again, kind of get my bearings, get my rhythm again, and try to get another scholarship after that year.
And did that happen?
That year was very tough for me. It was the first year. you know, truly away from home, because I did make the move from Mani to Athens, but can't really compare it to Greece to Canada. It's a big difference.
Yeah, it's got to be.
Yeah. So, I mean, that first year was very tough for me. I went there in August of 2024. And, you know, I kind of wanted to go back home a month later. I really wanted to come back. I was very homesick. It was very hard, I think, because I was still injured. So I still couldn't play basketball. And, you know, having moved from Greece to Canada to play basketball and not being able to do that, just being there existing in Canada without being able to play basketball yet, was kind of a very awkward or tough spot for me.
Sure.
But I got healthy. I started playing again in early November, late October. Thankfully, I got to go back home in December for Christmas. Thankfully, I got like 10 days. I was able to come back home, refresh, mm-hmm. kind of reset my cooldowns, and flew back. Didn't have the best season in Canada, but I got healthy again. Got up to a point where I felt comfortable with myself again, got comfortable with how I play basketball again, and finished the season. Had some interest from some colleges, didn't have a concrete scholarship yet. I didn't know if I was going to be able to play Division I basketball. I had some Division II and Division III offers, but I didn't have what I wanted. So I got invited to play in this tournament in France in April of 2024. So not even a month after my season in Canada ended. And I went there, and thankfully I played really good. I played really good. We made it to the finals. I won quarterfinals MVP. In the finals, we could have had it. I had my best game in the finals. That seems to be a running theme. I having my best game in the final game.
I don't think that's a bad trait.
I don't think that's a bad trait. Had a really good game, and some schools showed more interest in me, especially New Hampshire, the University of New Hampshire, where I ended up going. Got in touch with some of the coaches. They offered me a scholarship. And after talking with my family and kind of making sure it was the right decision, I decided to commit there and kind of set me up to go to the States and realize my dream of going and playing Division I college basketball.
Brilliant. So after those knockbacks, you got it. You got what you wanted.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's a kind of a running theme in my story. It also sounds very cliche. I don't want to be this type of guy, but I think I've had a lot of downs and a lot of places where I could have said, all right, this isn't for me. Or I don't have to do this. It might be much easier to just, you know, go to a university in Greece, hang out with my friends, just be on a lower pressure level.
Yeah. Well, sacrifice.
Yeah.
I've heard a lot, you know, about successful sportsmen and women. You have to sacrifice.
You do.
So just to give a context of where we are now, how much longer have you got at New Hampshire?
How long have I been there?
And how much have you got to go?
So I just finished my first year. I got back in May. Obviously had the whole Slovenia summer that we already talked about.
Mm.
And I'm going back to New Hampshire in about 3 weeks to continue playing there. And I have 3 more years of college eligibility yet. So that's how many years I can play college basketball.
Two questions. Firstly, how does that experience being in New Hampshire compare to what you experienced as a young lad in the Manny?
I think no matter of where you grow up in Greece, I think the States is a very different environment, very different, you know, social ways of hanging out and the way people interact with each other is so different than Greece. But even more so coming from money, coming from a small place, going to the States, which is such a big place, like small distances in the States is going from one, like the bottom part of Greece to the other side of Greece is a small distance for Americans. Yeah, so a couple of things I want to say. New Hampshire is very cold. It's very cold. Money, the money is not cold. It's sunny most of the time. In New Hampshire, it's snowing 5 months a year.
Wow.
I hate the snow. Walking to class is difficult. I hate the cold. I can't do the cold, man. I feel like I'm wrapping myself up with like three blankets to go outside. I'm wearing every single pair of clothes I have. It's tough. No, but I love New Hampshire, man. It's such a nice campus. First of all, the college campus is so nice. There's a lot of good people there. The sports facility is one big sports facility. So we're very close with a lot of the other collegiate sports that play there.
That's nice.
So football, English football, American football.
Yeah.
Hockey, ice hockey, swim, volleyball, track and field. There's so many sports and we're all very interconnected and close with each other. So you kind of, I never really felt like excluded or lonely when I was there. So it was very easy to kind of become a part of a group.
That must be, make life so much easier for you if you feel comfortable and belonging.
Yeah.
You've left your belonging, which is here.
Yeah.
And now you're getting a different sense of belonging, but you feel comfortable.
Yeah. It's. I feel like I have a very different relationship with my friends here and with my friends there. Not to compare them in any sort of way, but I also want to say, people that are bilingual or trilingual or whatever else you are, I feel like you'll understand this. I feel like I have a different personality in English and in Greek. I feel like I'm a different person in a sort of sense. I'm still the same me, but the way I express myself and the way I speak, even though English is almost like my first language, it's not like I have trouble speaking it or understanding it or, you know, fitting in a conversation.
Sometimes when I speak Greek confidently, I feel like a different person. Is that kind of what you're saying? That
yeah.
It's still me. But
yeah, exactly. I feel like the tone and the rhythm of each language is different. So forcefully, in a way, you have to be a bit different in the way you express yourself and your personality and the kind of jokes you make, the kind of way you kind of storytell.
Yeah.
And anything in between.
Yano, it doesn't matter if in the local Cafeneon it's a basketball game or a football game, it's still the same number of people who are in there yelling and screaming at the TV. Why do you think basketball is so popular in Greece? I mean, it's got to be the number two sport, hasn't it, after football?
It has to be. I really like to refer to football as the people sport. But if we're being honest, in Greece, basketball is, like, the clubs in basketball operate at a much higher level than the football clubs do. But the football is the people sport. It's so easy to access. If kids have a ball and two shoes, you can make a goal and just play. Basketball, you need a basket.
Hoops.
You need hoops. Yeah. You need hoops. You need the ball. You need many more things, which is kind of a harder thing to find. Not ultra rare per se, but it's a harder thing to find. And I think the difference from Greece to England is, you know, dating back culturally, you guys have different sports. You guys play cricket. We don't have cricket.
No. Rugby.
Rugby. We don't have rugby.
No.
So I think basketball just kind of takes up that spot.
Yeah. Okay. And yes, and I like your analogy that the football is more the people's sport.
Yeah.
Whereas perhaps, I mean, you're not saying that basketball is elitist.
No,
I
would say there are other sports that are way more elitist. And I think basketball is also a street sport and a people sport in a way. But I think even as a kid growing up, we played football more than we played basketball in school breaks, because there's only two baskets at the school. The older kids were always playing. It's so much easier to play football. And I can't lie, more of my friends wanted to play football than basketball. But
it's that hierarchy.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
The older kids get the hoops and the rest of you have to play football.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think Greece is one of those kind of unique, maybe not unique, but one of those instances where I think they're pretty evenly matched. I think people like football as much as they like basketball and the other way around. I think it's popularity-wise, it's pretty similar nowadays, I want to say.
Okay, and maybe we could finish on this question, because this, again, if I listen to sportsmen or women, especially footballers, you know, being interviewed about their past career, they always refer to the effort that their parents put in. Is that the case with you? I suspect it is.
Yeah, yeah. My parents, I've always said this. I mean, if you've ever spoken with me, I've always said this. I think my parents helped me so much, because if my parents were even a bit hesitant when I said, maybe I want to pursue basketball, and they were like, maybe it's difficult, maybe you can't do it, I don't know if I would. I don't know if I would have. I genuinely don't. So, but they were always like, if that's what you want to do and you're willing to put the effort and work in, then you do it. And they've always been supportive in my lowest of lows and my highest of highs. They've always been there. And they both came to Slovenia. Shout out mom and dad. My mom broke her hand there though. So
I heard.
but they've always been very supportive.
And driving you around when necessary.
Driving me to basketball practice, kind of rebounding for me when I wanted to shoot, coming to the court, even though I'm sorry, mom and dad, but you don't know nothing about basketball. And you still were there. And credit to them. My dad knows a couple of things about basketball. And credit to them, my mom knows a lot about basketball now. My dad knows even more about basketball now. So credit to them. They've devoted themselves in a way to the sport like I have for me.
Okay, Jano. I think I'd like to just finish by saying genuinely, I wish you all the best for the future. And thanks again.
Thank you so much.